This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Nestled in the rolling hills at the base of the Smoky Mountains between Chattanooga and Knoxville, Tennessee, is a school that specializes in teaching the unteachable. Advent Home is an accredited educational and mentoring live-in institution that welcomes 12 to 17-year-old boys with ADHD, anger issues, less than stellar grades, low self-esteem, or other challenges. In other words, Advent Home is a healer of young minds, and I thought you'd like to get to know its founder-director. Dr. Blondell Sr. is with us today to talk about what it takes to reach young boys who are suffering from learning challenges. Dr. Sr., welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you.
First of all, a little history. Tell us about Advent Home.
Well, we started 28 years ago by a family calling me and saying my son was dismissed from school. He has learning problems and he got into trouble and they needed help. And to be real honest with you, my 14-year-old daughter says, Daddy, you have been developing program for the government. Why don't you develop a program for these kids who are Christian-based? That's how we came into existence.
Well, tell me the difference then between a program for the government and a program for a Christian-based institution. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is the government program, the kids are adjudicated. That is, they have committed some crime and they have been arrested and they're under government custody. A Christian-based program is for kids who are beginning to getting into trouble, but they are not in trouble as yet. But they do need intervention because they do not function adequately in a regular school or even a church-related school. So they need special attention.
So you're talking prevention here then?
Yeah, we're talking prevention.
All right, okay.
And intervention.
Now, you have a lot of kids coming in there. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, I want to talk just for a moment about ADHD. And there are some false impressions, I understand, and you listed some of these on your website, and I'd like to go over these one at a time before we go on, because we want to know what we're talking, what we're dealing with here, Dr. Senior. The first false impression you say is ADHD students are mentally deficient. What's your word on that?
No, ADHD means attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's a neurological problem, but they're not mentally deficient. They're very bright, maybe brighter than the average, but they learn differently. They do not learn by just straight lecture. They might learn by one-on-one, or they might learn through sensory by touching things. And they are very, very bright, but they have to be taught differently.
Now, we also understand that the ADHD students are hyperactive. Is that always true?
Not always true, no. Some are hyperactive and some are on the other side of being passive and more or less daydream.
And, of course, there's the idea that ADHD students are unmanageable, and there's a lot of people who deal with ADHD people who would say, yeah, that's true. What do you say?
No, they are manageable, but, again, you cannot use the regular classroom tools. You have to use more. For example, if you separate them in a classroom, one sits on the right, one sits on the left, that keeps down the distractibility or the interruptions. Or you might get them involved, go up to the chalkboard and write, rather than just sitting and answering questions. They need to be focused on, they need small groups, they need personalized attention, and you have to break down where the teacher doesn't have a big population, a big census, maybe 8 kids in a classroom with enough elbow room so they don't get in each other's way.
So we're not talking about learning ability. We're talking about learning methods. Am I on the right track here?
Learning techniques, yes.
Okay.
Learning techniques and teaching techniques.
Now, ADHD students are slow learners, some would say. Have you found that to be true?
If you teach them a conventional way, they might be slow learners. But if you teach them differently, that is one-on-one, touch, interaction, small groups, personalized attention, and use skills that require children to see things and touch things and experience things. For example, talking about measurements, go outside and measure the basketball court, and they will learn just as well as others.
Now, can they function with regular students? Would you put them in a classroom with someone who does not have ADHD?
Yes, they can function with regular students, but it requires a little more behavior management.
Uh-huh, okay.
In our school, our kids leave our program and they go to regular school and they excel. But you have to teach them to deal with distraction. You have to teach them to deal with interruptions. You have to teach them not to be so sensitive by responding to every movement in the classroom. So they can learn, you can teach what is called behavior management. That is how to manage behavior, how to minimize distraction, how to focus, how to concentrate, how to pay attention to detail. They can learn just like other kids, but they need different behavior management.
And I think I hear you saying that ADHD then is reversible. If they leave your classroom and go to the regular classroom and they excel, something has changed in them.
Yes, most kids come to our school on medication. I'd say 92% comes with medication, some type of medication. And when they leave here a year or 2 years later, there are no medication, and they can function without medication. So it's a lifestyle. A minimum distraction lifestyle is better than a lifestyle that is too distracted. That is, when they come to us, they do not use cell phones. They do not use computer games. They are more focused. It's a more quiet environment. It's an environment where we put a lot of nature and natural things in.
So you take away the gadgets. You take away the electronic gadgets and you put in birds and animals and bugs and grass and clouds and trees.
And we take away the baggy pants and we take away the earphones and we take away the distraction. And then kids settle down in nature. They do very well. And research has found that kids are out in nature, lots of green grass and lots of nature, function better and learn better than when they are distracted.
Why is that? Why do you think that nature is the key to ADHD?
Well, maybe that's where they were made originally. It's just less noise and of greater interest. When kids work in the garden and plant seeds, they become curious as to what happened to the seed. And they learn from that natural experience and they pay attention to detail. Also, the sunshine and the exercise and the healthy diet are part of the contributing factor. Because kids today are overstimulated and are overstimulated too young. So they develop reaction towards overstimulation. It tends to be hyperactivity.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you also deal with anger issues, low grade self-esteem, and learning challenges. And I would assume that some of those are the result of the ADHD condition that the kids are in. So I assume that if you take care of the ADHD, the anger and low grades may take care of themselves. Am I right?
In a way, yes. Most of the kids who come to us have had some emotional trauma, such as adopted. They take it away from their biological parents, sometimes from infancy. Some have experienced divorce. Some have experienced abuse. So most of the ADHD kids have had some emotional trauma someplace. And that affects a child. Also, children are bonded to their biological parents, so they come with some genetic and inherited traits that might not be in the ordinary, everyday kid. Okay.
All right. So when you notice that, when you say, okay, that's genetic, how do you battle against genetic? How do you deal with something that is built in and hardwired into that child?
First, you change the environment, such as the eating habits and the television. Kids rarely see television here. Things are more natural rather than artificial. Another thing you do with these kids is that having them out in a quiet environment, they see the sky at night, they see nature and they see birds, that calm them down. You get their attention. And they are much more calmer. And so when you have them like in the garden again working, they tend to be calm. So these behaviors are learned. And you're teaching them types of behaviors that are very, very good. Kids that are adopted tend to have more problems, such as reactive attachment disorder. They become bonded to us as staff, and we teach them. We become role models for them.
Yes.
And many of them do not have role models. Many of them are angry, and they do not even know what they are angry about, or depressed. Do not know what they are depressed about. And they come with medication for anger when they do not know why they are angry and they are depressed. And sometimes because of lack of sleep, for example, they want to stay up late at night, and they want to watch television or watch game or play computer game. And next morning, they didn't get enough sleep, so they get medication for depression. When they're not really depressed, they're just tired. So kids who come here get off their medication very quickly because they're misdiagnosed. They get sleeping pills when they're really not because they can't sleep, because they didn't do exercise. They get a lot of exercise here, physical exercise, walking and playing. So they go to bed at night and they're tired. You don't need sleeping pills.
Now, you have kids there 12 to 17 years old, and you also have program for older than that even, that they come back for apprenticeships and coaching and mentoring, et cetera. These children can think. Are they aware, after they've been there long enough, are they aware of why they were the way they were before?
Yes, we spend a lot of time talking about that. Every day we have groups. That is, we spend an hour a day in talking about their background, why they are the way they are, how they're different, how they're similar. And they learn to express themselves. One of the biggest therapeutic methods that you have is just plain downright communication. Mm-hmm. When some kids come here at first, they do not know how to talk. They do not know how to dialogue. And we teach them to dialogue and to talk, and just by doing that, they get better.
Well, we're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, more with Dr. Blondell Sr. I want to ask you, Dr. Sr., about parents today and what parenting skills tend to be lacking in today's world. I have an idea where you're going to go with this thing, but I want to make sure that I'm on the right track, and Dr. Blondell will be sharing with us what we can do as parents to help our children along the way so that they don't have these issues and they don't need the services of Advent Home. It's there if they need it, but if they don't need it, that's even better for the kid and for the parents. We'll find out more about this on our return, so stay right where you are.
How's your lemonade?
Oh, terrific.
Yes, this is the life. A warm spring evening, sitting on the porch, hanging out with my beautiful granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma, I'm not beautiful. I look like a sheep.
A sheep? Who told you that?
Alexei Parrish, a guy at school.
Oh, yes, Alexei. Didn't you once say he dyed his hair green?
That's him.
Then you would certainly want to value his opinion on what's beautiful and what's not.
I see what you mean. But I wish I looked different.
What would you change?
Oh, my nose, my ears, my eyes. Basically everything from the hair down.
Let me ask you a question, Mariam. All those movie stars you see in the magazines, do you like the way they look?
Sure, they're beautiful.
Then why are they always having painful and expensive operations to change the way they look? Why are they spending thousands and thousands of dollars to shorten their noses, lengthen their chins, tuck their tummies, stretch their necks, or fatten their lips? If they're so beautiful, why do they keep trying to change?
That doesn't make much sense.
What makes sense is to just sit back and be satisfied with the way God made you. Stay healthy and strong, but try to look like a movie star? That's just silly, because they don't even like the way they look. By the way, I happen to know why they go through all those operations.
You do?
Yes. Every one of them wants to look like my granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills, here. We're talking with Dr. Blondell Sr., founder-director of Advent Home. And during the break, he reminded me that he'd be very happy if he went out of business, if no kids had to come to Advent Home for help with their ADHD and anger issues and low grades. He'd be very happy to be put out of business. But until that happens, he's there for parents who are struggling with their children who have these problems. Now, Dr. Sr., let me ask you, what parenting skills do you find are lacking in many of the cases of the young people that come to Advent Home?
Parenting skills, such as not having enough time to supervise.
Hmm.
Our parents today are professional people. About 60% of our students' parents are physicians.
Hmm.
The other 40% are other types of professional people. So parents are very busy, and they don't have time. So these kids come home from school, private or public school, and they have long hours without supervision. And that makes sure for getting into trouble. So parents need time to raise kids. Parents do not have communication, so they come home and the parents are busy. trying to get the family together, feed the family, and maintain housekeeping. So they do not have time to dialogue and to communicate. So the kids are now occupied with playing games when the kids should be occupied with apprenticeship with the parents. Mm-hmm. If the parents are cooking, the kids should be helping. If the parents are cutting the lawn, the kids should be helping. If the parents are cleaning the house, washing, folding, the kids should be helping. So in the old days when they used to have an apprenticeship at home, kids grew up to be like their parents. They don't have that now. So we have what is called now entertainment, recreation, and sports. So the child is not learning anything. So we need parents who can incorporate their children in their home duties so they can learn skills and learn responsibilities at an early age. Dialoguing. Parents do not take time just with the child to dialogue. If they're sitting together, they're watching television. So it's not quality time. It's time together, but you need time to talk. When I was a child, I grew up in a rural environment, and from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the day when the sun was hot, we'd spend time and talk with our parents. Parents do not have that time now because they're so busy and so preoccupied. Parents need how to discipline. They do not know how to discipline. They think of discipline as punishment. So they want to spank or talk or berate the child when really they need to discipline. Discipline is communication. Discipline is involvement. Discipline is participation. Discipline is teaching the child how to relate to the things around him so he can deal with these things. So when a kid leaves home, he does not know how to behave because he doesn't have these skills at home. One writer divides life into three categories. The first is self-government. The child should learn to self-govern himself, to dress himself, to take a bath, to feed himself, to keep his room tidy, to go to school, to study. That self-government, then it becomes self-reliance after that. After the child leaves home, begins to interact with others such as peers, such as teachers, the child should learn to rely on what he has previously learned, such as communication, such as dialogue, such as delegation, such as problem solving. And later on, the child should exercise what we call self-control. Mm. Once the child leaves home, the child should learn to self-govern. That's why children stay out of trouble. They don't get into fights because of self-control. They do not get into stealing. Monitor their own study habits. See the importance of an education and be able to self-govern their behavior so that they do not have laws and police and dogs and so forth, things to control them. So it's self-government rather than external control. So parents need how to relate to their kids and how to bring them up. Some parents believe that after the kid becomes a teenager, they don't need him. No, they need a different type of skills, how to manage money. Kids should be taught how to earn money and how to spend money at a very early age so that when they become an adult, they know how to manage money. The number one cause for divorce is fighting over money. Kids should learn how to drive at a very early age, not on the highway, but in the backwoods, in the big parking lot. So when they become 16 and 17, they have 6 or 7 years of driving experience rather than 6 weeks.
That's true.
That's why kids have so many accidents when they're young and driving. So we should pack into the minds of our children lots of learning, lots of skill at a very early age to help them to mature. A mature kid makes good decisions. An immature kid makes bad decisions and gets into trouble.
Now, Dr. Blondell, let me speak for the parents out there who are saying, who has time for all of that, Dr. Blondell? Who has time? We work our tails off. We're earning money. We're paying the bills. We're trying to keep the wolf from the door. Who has time to take care of a child? What do you say to those parents?
There's some truth to that, but that's why we bring children into the world. Children are to be taught to grow up to be like their parents. Mm. If someone's not teaching them, then they're going to learn computer games. They're going to learn the things they see on computer because that's the role model. Parents are the role models. Parents are responsible to bring their children up. So you have to put in extra time, like on weekends, like on Saturdays and Sundays, like in the night. So it needs to be quality time that is planned. We all are professional people. I'm a professional person. My wife is. We raised 3 girls. And we had to spend time to teach them, to tell them stories, to relate to them, to help them to be busy and useful around the house. Teach them to drive. So you have to take time out of your busy schedule and maybe slow down. You have to retire from certain type of activities where we're too involved in the community while our children are growing up. Mm-hmm. Because children need the time of adults and need the time of parents. And that's why we have programs like the Advent Home, because when kids come to the Advent Home, They're not properly supervised. They're not learning good skills. We like to say they're allergic to work. They don't know how to work. They don't know how to sweep. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to set a table. They do not know how to dress appropriately for the weather. So we have to take time out to teach them, and that's what we do. So when kids leave, they are then home. They're very skilled and very mature and actually excel.
Oh, my. We're talking with Dr. Blondell Sr., founder director of Advent Home, and this is an institution out in the beautiful countryside between Chattanooga and Knoxville, Tennessee. They have a website, adventhome.org. You can check that out, adventhome.org. Dr. Blondell, as I listen to you talk here, I realize the tremendous responsibility that parents have. We are busy. Parents are busy. You talk about quality time. Is there a formula like, 10% of your time, 5% of your time, 5 minutes a day, an hour a day? What have you found works best, or does that vary from child to child?
Well, it varies from child to child, but you have to use the time that you have as a quality time. Mm. Everyone does laundry.
Yes.
Involve your kid in the laundry process. Folding clothes, teach your children to fold their clothes and put them away. Everyone cleans up the house. Neatness. Involve your children in cleaning up your house and reward them. We like to pay our children to do things at a very early age, but we also give them responsibility to buy things at a very early age. Very early, our kids are buying their own clothes, buying their own toys, buying their own bicycles. And when they became teenagers, we had them working and we paid them so they could earn money and manage money to buy their own cars. So you can teach kids and involve them. If you're cooking, involve them in the cooking. Let them learn to cook. It's the attitude one takes towards children rather than time. No one has any more time, 24 hours per day,
right,
7 days per week. So you have to use the time appropriately, training your children and working with them so they can learn the skills and become smart little adults.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying that you were modeling the big bad world in the safety of the home. Am I right?
Yes. They are little apprentices.
Okay.
In the safety of the home. So you have to teach them all the things you learn. You didn't learn to cook by accident. Someone taught you.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't learn to speak by accident. Someone taught you. Someone taught you how to dress and how to conduct yourself. And you have to see it that way. Everything your child does should be monitored and supervised by you as parents, giving feedback. And you need to have family government. We used to have our family government after breakfast on Sunday morning. We get together and we talk about the week, talk about disappointments, talk about challenges in school. We talk about dress, grooming, cleaning the house, washing dishes, etc. So you need to have a family government, and you're teaching the child teamwork, how to work together, and it starts in the family. And when our kids left home, those same skills continued with the child, and they used them very successfully.
Wow. We have been taught many good things today on this program. Dr. Blondell Sr., founder, director of Advent Home, thank you so much for being with us today. Wonderful words of wisdom from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. It's a pleasure.
And listener, here is the website again, adventhome.org, adventhome.org. And if you want faster action, here's the phone number. It is area code 423-336-5052. That's 423-336-5052. Advent Home Learning Center in Tennessee. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Blondell Sr., inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.